From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. With just days to go before the history-making midterm elections in the U.S., Public Citizen is reporting that the races that are pitting Democrats against Republicans are awash with so much cash that it's diluting our democracy. There are 14 races across the nation that are highly competitive, where outside spending is exceeding money spent by the candidates themselves. A whopping $715 million in outside spending has flooded the races, with nearly 60% of that figure focused on just 39 races. The Center for Responsive Politics has determined that this is a record-breaking amount of outside spending in any election season. Public Citizen President Robert Wiseman concluded, "This is the world Citizens United made." My guest is Alan Zibel, Research Director of the Corporate Presidency Project at Public Citizen. Welcome to the program, Alan.
Hey, how are you doing, Sonali?
Doing well. Thanks so much for joining us. Let's first define what we mean by outside spending, because that's a term that, you know, if you're not paying close attention to campaign finance, you might not quite understand. How do you define it?
Hi, Sonali. Thanks for having me. So what defines outside political spending is what people, you know, may have heard of. Super PACs is a common thing that has entered the lexicon. You know, that means political action committees that are not bound by the traditional $5,000 contribution limit that refers to traditional, you know, in the pre-Citizens United world, PACs, political action committees. Other examples of outside money would be nonprofits, 501c4s that typically structured as 501c4s that are also allowed unlimited contributions and unlimited spending. So what we mean by outside spending, you know, we don't think it's wrong to spend money on election, but what we object to is unlimited spending and no disclosure of no or limited disclosure of donations of who the money is coming from. So the problem is it allows the corporations and people with the most resources to throw the most possible amount of money, all their money, as much money as they can into election races.
So essentially, this is very clearly the kind of thing that the Supreme Court's rulings of Citizens United on Citizens United unleashed, right?
Yes, exactly. And we have strongly objected to it for years, and we continue to strongly object to it. I mean, I think that you know, hopefully, as the consequences of Citizens United become more obvious, that you know, we'll see some changes. You know, we've advocated for a constitutional amendment to overturn Citizens United for many years. In this analysis, we found that that as of earlier this month, nearly $422 million went to the tightest races, really. The races categorized by the Cook Political Report as a toss-up.
That's nearly half a billion dollars.
It's a huge amount of money.
Unimaginable.
Right. And it goes to show that this outside money is going, kind of logically, it's going to the where it can have the most impact. It's flowing to the tightest possible races, and you know, the fear is that these candidates are you know, when they get into office, are going to be beholden to the donors that got them there, and that's really the concern. And this is the outside spending concern applies to Democratic candidates, and it applies to Republican candidates. So it's a problem on both sides.
Does one party have more outside spending behind it than the other?
Yes, I mean, Republicans do have more outside spending than Democrats, advocating both for Republican candidates and against Democratic candidates. But, you know, when we looked at it, we found that it's not by a huge factor. It's not really a giant advantage. It's a you know, it's an advantage, but it's not overwhelming.
So essentially, Democrats have decided or realized that if you can't beat them, join them, and they've played the game alongside Republicans. Can you give us some sense of the sources of these outside spending, in as much as we know? Are these individuals, are they corporations, or we simply don't know because we don't have, you know, the rules allow them to remain anonymous?
So some of it's disclosed, some of it's undisclosed. I mean, it's definitely corporate money, and it's definitely really wealthy individuals. I mean, you know, I think it's less, when I say corporate money, it's less corporations themselves and more kind of corporate funded organizations. So you have the Kochs being a huge, huge player in this, the Koch brothers through their Americans for Prosperity network, which kind of aggregates their money with other wealthy donors. So it's less the actual corporations doing the donations, but often their founders, their primary owners, their executives, that sort of thing. That, as we said earlier, that applies to the Democratic side and the Republican side. I mean, I think you've seen, some really large individual donations. You know, Mike Bloomberg has announced, a big, big multi-million dollar donations to Democrats. You've seen Steven Schwarzman, a CEO of Blackstone Group, who's giving big to Republicans. I mean, it's fairly astounding, the dollars that we're talking about.
Can you give us an example of a race that is very competitive? It's hard to predict which way it's going to go, where outside spending has flooded in. And so give us an example of a race like that, and also where that money is going. What are they spending that money on? Is it primarily television ads or mailers?
Yeah, so I mean, on the Senate side, there's the five races where outside spending exceeded the candidate's own spending by the largest amount. So the were West Virginia. So you have Manchin versus Patrick Morrisey. That was actually the biggest one. Now that one, actually, I'm not sure that I would expect that. Well, who knows what's going to happen, but I'm not sure that one is experts and pollsters are not expecting that one to be close. That Manchin is probably in good shape there. But McCaskill's race in Missouri is supposed to be very close, and outside spending is way exceeding candidate spending there. Out west, you've got Rosen versus Heller. In the Senate in Nevada, you've got Donnelly's race in Indiana, and you've got a really tight race in Tennessee. Marsha Blackburn, that's an open seat. Marsha Blackburn versus Phil, I believe it's pronounced Bredesen. This money largely goes to TV, right? It goes to, ads that are not supposed to be officially coordinated with the campaign and have some sort of official distance from the campaign, but are really, echoing the same exact kind of things that the campaign does. So you'll see that on TV, in ads, they'll have some sort of, anonymous, obscure or innocuously named group, Citizens for X. And there'll be, a harsh attack ad against Joe Donnelly or a harsh attack ad.
So the source of the spending is identified on the ad, but basically they can hide behind a name that tells you nothing.
Yeah, so right. Citizens for tax, citizens for apples and motherhood, or what I mean?
Yeah.
Something very innocuous. And the funding gets passed through, passed through many different entities to preserve the anonymity. I mean, it's all kind of a sham. I mean, I think that we pretty much agree with that. And a lot of the outside spending too is being done by entities that are very close to the House GOP, to the House Dems, to the Senate Dems, to the House Republicans. These are they're not the official party committee, right? They're not the DCCC or the DSCC, but they're PACs that have been created to sort of mirror the official campaign, and often they're staffed by people who have connections to, to Senator Schumer or have connections to, to Senator McConnell, are in with that. There's no official legal connection between the two, but it's kind of the same crowd. So it's sort of this quasi-official outside spending committee that is allowing unlimited donations and unlimited expenses that we really find objectionable.
So, Alan, for those people, those voters who are living in the areas where, or the districts where these highly competitive races are taking place, where this huge amount of money is pouring in, they're basically being bombarded by ads on television, by mailers, by all of the sort of standard things that you get when you have money pouring in. Presumably, it's coming so thick and fast, there's no time to vet the claims that might be being made. This must be incredibly wearying to voters.
Exactly. And this is, we should remind people, this is what the Supreme Court did. This is your Supreme Court that ruled, that
took it upon themselves to rule.
Yes. They decided that political advertising and, backed by millions and hundreds of millions of dollars is the same thing as your speech and my speech. So that's what Justice Kennedy gave us, and that's what the world we're living in today.
One more gift from Justice Kennedy. do you have any sense that this money is actually having an impact, right? So when you've got giant amounts of money being thrown at a race from one side, it's going to be met by nearly the same amount of money being thrown at it from the other side. And it's probably going to come down to, very, very close races. But do you have any sense that this money is actually having a big impact one way or another?
Right. I mean, obviously, we're not going to know until Tuesday, November 6th. How can it not have an impact? Certainly, over and over, seeing those ads has got to impact voters. It's got to shape your perceptions of a race and a candidate. But I would, however, point out that we've seen, Beto O'Rourke in Texas just raise an incredible amount of money from individuals around the country who are really inspired by his candidacy and really appreciate a candidate who's raising money from ordinary people. That's not an official endorsement, but there's a lot of appeal to many Americans in that argument.
So how does this election, as far as you can tell, compare to previous elections? The political stakes are so high, given the Trump presidency, given that he has had the backing of his party, which has had, a majority in Congress for the past couple of years, and also now, occupies the White House. The one party has control of the three branches of government, and that could all change. Well, two out of the three could change this November. So the stakes are incredibly high. How does this election compare to earlier elections in terms of outside political spending? Are we just seeing an upward trend in money?
Yeah, I think you are seeing an upward trend in money. This is going to be a record for midterm spending in for outside spending in a midterm. It's not going to exceed outside spending in any election. That would have been the last election in 2016, because a presidential election is always going to be a larger election in terms of spending. But I probably should be a little more careful there. It would be shocking to see midterm spending, outside spending exceed 2016, but it doesn't seem to be on pace to do that. At any rate, from what you said is true. We're seeing a huge amount of interest in this election, we'll see what happens. Prospects for the Democrats in the House, I think Democrats are feeling okay about it. I think that they're not feeling too great about the Senate right now. You know, that's you know, you're seeing a lot of people, you know, really everyone seems to be energized by politics these days. And, you know, particularly in California, you have races in long-time conservative districts in Southern California that, you know, seem like they're on the verge of potentially flipping. So there's you know, things for progressive to be excited about. And, you know, don't count your chickens before they hatch, but it you know, I think that, you know, people are feeling okay about it.
Alan, how does this change the way in which an individual who wants to run for Congress, wants to run for a seat, goes about doing so? Because if outside money is exceeding the money that the candidate is spending, in some cases exceeding the money that the political party is spending, doesn't that completely shift the dynamics of how one approaches running for office? That you would essentially be fundraising, not from ordinary people, not from your constituency, not from the people who are actually voting for you, but you would be fundraising from these political action committees.
Or, you know, PACs and groups or the Mike Bloombergs of the world. Yeah, I would say that that's very concerning. But I would say that we have that trend, but we also have a parallel trend of the, you know, the Beto O'Rourkes of the world that are doing, just raising an incredible amount from individuals. So, you know, not every candidate's going to have that guy's kind of magnetism and charisma. So it's a challenge.
So what do you, let's go back to the source of the problem, because if we're seeing an upward trend election after election, and of course we tend to worry about this stuff as we get closer to an election, but the real work needs to happen between elections, right? And Public Citizen has been on it for a few years now, ever since Citizens United was, the ruling came down from the Supreme Court. What needs to happen between elections to reverse this trend, to stop what is a very concerning trend of diluting our democracy?
Yes, I mean, we think that more state legislatures should go ahead and say they're going to repeal Citizens United, and we think overturn Citizens United, you know, we think that can happen. I mean, that's been our campaign for a number of years now. I'm not sure what can be done I think it needs to be a change in the law and really the Constitution now. So unfortunately, there's a pretty high bar for that. But you know, if we have a movement that demands it, we can push for it and accomplish it.
So statewide efforts to overturn Citizens United is what you think is a likely way to go about doing it.
That's what we advocate for. I mean, that I believe we have 19. Don't quote me on that number. I should check that number. But there's a whole bunch of states that have gone on and indicated that they're going to overturn Citizens United. But I'm not an expert on that piece.
Now, the numbers that we cited are the latest numbers we had access to while you and I are talking. But of course, the midterm elections are still a few days away. Are you updating these numbers? I'm guessing that they're likely going to be higher than the ones we've been citing.
I'm planning on doing an update. You can check on citizen.org for the latest update. But we're planning on doing another update.
And so what can ordinary people do using these numbers? Because if, you know, yes, overturning Citizens United is a very critical thing to do. But say that someone lives in one of these constituencies, one of these districts where there's ridiculous amounts of money being spent. Can they use data from your report to alert and to just raise awareness among voters about how their votes matter less and less for every dollar that these outside groups are spending?
Absolutely. You know, we're happy to be a resource in that, and that's, you know, kind of why we're putting this stuff out there by district is to really educate people in those individual communities. So if you go on www.citizen.org, you can check into our research and look at races in your area.
And can they then sort of use that data to also hold those candidates running for office, right? Say, look at all this money that's being spent on your behalf by these outside groups, and we don't like this. We're highly uncomfortable with this. We demand independence, etc.
Absolutely. No, that's a great idea. We support that.
I mean, of course, the candidates would likely say, well, I have nothing to do with this. These are outside groups that can spend one any which way they want. And is that a sort of advantage that Citizens United gives to these PACs and to the candidates and to the political parties who can sort of claim distance, even if there isn't any?
Right. It's sort of plausible deniability. It's not, kind of knows it's nonsense, but then you have that deniability factor in there. So yes, no, that's a concern.
Give out a website where people can get access to the report again, Ellen.
Oh, sure. www.citizen.org.
That's citizen.org. There will be new numbers updated in the next few days as we get closer to the race, so people can certainly check out the website and get those updated figures. But we're basically talking on the order of a half to three quarters of $1 billion of outside money being spent on races. The name of the report is Big Money Flooding Midterm Election Races, and we'll post a link to the version that we have access to right now. Alan, thank you so much for joining us.
All right, take care, Sonali. Thank you for having me.
My guest has been Alan Zibel, Research Director at the Corporate Presidency Project at Public Citizen. We've been discussing a new report examining record levels of outside spending on midterm election races. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and now on Instagram at RU with Sonali.